Hello and welcome to the inaugural podcast, currently entitled Log Chat, with myself, Andrew Hay, and Dr. Anton Chivakin. This is our first, hopefully of many podcasts, where we're going to be talking about all things logging and adjacencies to log, such as incident response, forensics, SIM, and log management as a whole. So welcome.
And by the way, Andrew is right. We do need a new name. Log Chat just sounds cheesy, and unfortunately, Log Talk is taken. So if you have any ideas, feel free to send them to us, because we do need a name. I guess we can give out one of our books as a prize to whoever suggests the best name.
Or someone else's book, either way.
Yeah, we can do that too.
Yeah, and you pick the book.
You get some kind of book if your name is used. So we wanted to start in a brief section about what's new in the world of logs. Now, we were thinking of doing this podcast every couple of weeks, or every month maybe. So there are surely things happening in the world of logs. So one thing I want to mention that happened today is that Project HoneyNet has released a new forensic challenge, which is about logs. You're given a chunk of log data from a compromised server, actually from a compromised virtual server, and your task is to figure out what happened. There is a bunch of questions that you have to answer. You have about a month to do that, and then you submit your solutions. They get posted on Project HoneyNet website, honeynet.org, and you even also get a prize if you win. So if you want to participate in that log challenge, go to www.honeynet.org and look for the log challenge.
These HoneyNet project challenges or very network analysis focused, not so much logs. Anton, there's been log challenges.
Yeah, there were some. I did one in 2007, I think, or maybe 2006 even, so it was quite some time ago. Yeah.
They're few and far between. But what's cool is that, you know, they are offering these again, and I'm not sure what the adoption is going to be for the people accepting the challenge, but a cross-section of people that I'd like to see accept the challenge, like I was saying on Twitter today, was I would like to see SIM and log management vendors who are touting their products as products that help reduce the cruft that is, you know, thousands of logs and help pinpoint incidents and aid the incident response process by using their tools. I want them to take this freely available challenge and the available logs, run it through their systems, and not only just to see what they'll come up with, but perhaps record a video showing the steps taken to actually address all of the questions proposed in the challenge. And I think that'd be, not even from a marketing perspective, but it would be, obviously, whoever does it, it would be very good marketing, but it would also show the power of their tools that they're using.
In fact, they can even, the missing part here would be to get their one of their field engineers or somebody who is good with their tool to do that. So it would be essentially the test of the technology and also the test of the operational capabilities of the tool. So if you know how to use log management tool X, let's not name names yet, maybe you can go solve the challenge and suggest how to do that using that tool. So it's not limited to vendors, of course. Anybody who has access to a particular tool can use it and then write about the experience.
And to take it one step further, these are the kind of things that I'd like to see the vendors do more of themselves. Offer a log set out that maybe depicts a certain type of attack scenario or a particular incident to respond to. Put it out, make it freely available, and then perhaps have a video beside the download that says, okay, this is how our tool handled it. And it's kind of like an open challenge to all of that particular vendor's competitors to say, well, you know, this is how long it took us. This is the workflow we went through. Can you do better? And I think it would definitely stir up a lot of competition between the vendors if they accepted this kind of thing.
Yep, I agree. And it also, so it tests the tool and it tests a particular person's ability to use the tool, which is actually kind of a good thing. That's how log management happens. It's not only about the boxes and the UIs. It's also about people who can use the boxes and the UIs.
And from a log analysis perspective, perhaps the person who recorded the video or went through steps 1 through 9 of the challenge, they went through it one way. That doesn't necessarily mean that the next person who's going to use the exact same tool is going to approach the problem the exact same way.
Yep, that's very true. And also, to finish this part, HoneyNet Project will be posting an official write-up after the submission. So there would be a way to see, if not the correct answer, but also one possible correct answer written by the project. So what else is new in the world of logging? I'm hearing some rumors about vendors, certain vendors not doing too well and laying off staff.
Well, I think that's always going to be the case. Obviously, the biggest news recently has been the rumors of ArcSight being acquired. And when something of that caliber comes up, there's going to be a lot of echoes within the sector. So everyone and their dog has been interviewed by some medium about what this means for the sector. A lot of the vendors have taken their stance on what it would mean if an acquisition of that nature went through. They've put things up on their blogs. But to be honest, we're really not going to know what's going to happen unless something does happen. This could just be another rumor. There is talk of SIM and log management vendors being acquired almost every day. And, my job as an analyst, I hear it's almost like a rumor mill. Half of my job is listening to all of the echoes in the rumor mill. So I'm not going to say that I'm starting to become a little dull to the process, but I'm definitely taking a stance of, well, let's see what happens when it happens. There's certainly the possibility for, or the chance for, a lot of SIM log management vendors to become smaller pieces or rolled up into a portfolio type organization that is requiring that kind of product or service. MSSPs are definitely a good avenue or an exit strategy for SIM log management vendors because they're managing everything else within a customer's infrastructure. Why not manage their logs and their security events as well?
Yep, and by the way, it also allows them to score some cloud points.
Yes, they get to use the term cloud in the marketing. That's
yep,
right.
They get to use the term cloud SIM or cloud log management in their marketing because it's kind of fairly close to that. So let's switch from rumors to the actual subject for today's podcast, namely integration. I wanted to phrase it as log source integration challenges, but I guess we cannot just talk about challenges. We got to talk about solutions as well. So briefly, we are talking about the whole process of adding a new log source, new type of log source to a log management tool or to a SIM tool. So if you want to analyze logs, if you want to run reports, run correlation, you got to do some certain tasks with logs that are received from a particular source. So we just want to talk about what those tasks are, how complicated they are, how long does it take, as well as what vendors promise in that realm. Is that a good summary, Andrew?
I'd say so. So to get started, I think you need to think of the challenges from both sides of the table. There's the challenge of actually configuring the device or the application, we'll say the medium, to actually generate the logs that you need. Then there is the transport of those logs to the endpoint where you want to do the analysis or the storage, and then there's the interpretation of the logs when they get to that point. So A, B, and C. Now A is typically thought of to be the easiest part. Definitely the case if we're talking syslog, but as you know, any sort of application or even especially custom applications that haven't been designed with logs in mind or any sort of logging in mind becomes a real challenge for any sort of log analysis, especially centralized log analysis.
In fact, even getting the logs in one place is sometimes kind of hard unless you have standard. I shouldn't even use the term standard here.
proposed standard?
Yeah, if you have the semblance of a standard in the form of a syslog, if you don't have that, if you have a particular bizarre file format that looks really strange and does not have any apparent structure, even getting those logs in one place and making sense of them on a very surface level is kind of hard. So it really varies, right? I mean, look at something very nice and structured. Look at, say, proxy logs. I mean, anybody can absorb proxy logs and make some analysis off that because these are nicely structured, comma separated values, or something similar. And then contrast it to, say, well, let's not pick on Windows. How about Unix syslog? If you get Unix syslog, it's easy to get them in one place, but making sense of them, that's a different story.
Especially writing all sorts of different application logs to syslog.
Yep.
Then the formats all change. Obviously, you know, your timestamps are generally going to be the same, but
actually that's somebody told me he observed 20 something different timestamp formats in syslog. And I don't know whether to believe it or not. I've seen a couple, but it looks like there's even variation in that supposedly solid field timestamp. For example, a well known thing is a year is present, a year is absent.
I guess it all depends on the end developer that wrote the code, right?
And also on the syslog daemon, right? If it forwards, if you use Linux to forward HPUX logs or Solaris logs, you will see some interesting anomalies sometimes.
Yeah. And as you move between different flavors of Unix and Linux, then things get a little wonky in different syslog daemons, and that all of these things become challenges for centralized logging.
Yep. Even before we get to analysis stage. Yep.
Right. So we haven't even left the box yet, and we're already inundated with problems.
Yeah, well, that's our life, right? That's the life in the logging realm, is that you have challenges pretty much starting from logs appearing all the way to collection, and then when we get to analysis. So as far as integrating log sources, as far as the part that is sometimes referred to as parsing or parsing, normalization, categorization, I'm sure some fun stuff happens there. And, what about that part? How painful it can be to vendors?
Well, having been a vendor responsible for a team that did this kind of work, I can tell you it's extremely, extremely painful. As both engineering manager and a product manager, it becomes a question of communication and getting as much information out of the vendors up front as you can. And that's not always a very easy thing to do, because you need to have these communications channels. It would really be like calling a random vendor that sells firewalls and say, hey, I'd like to talk to someone who really knows your log format inside and out. And they'll say, what?
Yeah.
What do you mean? It's definitely not an easy task to undertake. You know, you need to talk to someone who knows this inside and out, can tell you what all the fields are, if they're going to be constant, if they're going to be changing, what certain random key values might mean in syslog or in tables that mean nothing to you but might mean something to them that could... Databases are a prime example. You know,
yeah.
a lot of application vendors that have like big centralized consoles for their portfolio of products will have numbers in database tables. You may not know what those integers mean, but they directly relate back to something else in another table that'll give you a dictionary of sorts as to what that means.
Yeah, but that's actually a good scenario where you have the table to join. Sometimes the number might refer to a document, an obscure document on their website somewhere.
Yeah,
so
that may or may not
exist. So you see an error 202, right? And then you have to go look up some web page somewhere deep inside the support site that says, oh, error 202 means, well, password failed or something.
Maybe.
Maybe.
In most cases.
Maybe it's kind of important here, yeah.
Well, the problem, you know, that would be ideal if we did have a database schema publicly available, but sometimes vendors aren't willing to release their database schema or even portions of their schema to tell you where that information is located and what it means. And that becomes extremely difficult to do the correlation and normalization on the centralized point.
Yep. And they can give you a schema, but the schema would be timestamp, log source, program,
yeah.
Message.
Proprietary information.
No, message. It would be basically
message.
Everything else. So
yeah.
You have a schema and you know where to get everything, but everything you need is somewhere inside the big fat text string, which is the message. And then you have to do the manual digging and parse well, you get the data first, and then you parse, sub-parse the message.
So I guess the moral of the story is, if there's any product managers, program managers, or engineers that are listening to this podcast, the moral of the story would be, during your development phase, even though documentation sucks, it's very important down the road for integration. If you can provide a data dictionary to these Simulog management vendors that want to work with you and that you want to work with, it will make everyone's life much easier.
Yep, and by the way, Andrew is talking about vendors of software, not Simulog management vendors. These are vendors, essentially people who write applications whose logs then we have to analyze and we have to then absorb in various tools. So these are the software vendors, all the way from Microsoft to an individual developer somewhere in his basement writing an app that then writes to syslog or Windows event log. So this is or to file flat file in the form of a Java log, for example.
Although conversely, Simulog management vendors, if they support the various transport mechanisms for their logs and they support certain file formats, then those should be published. Because if I'm just a Joe Blow developer starting up my own company and I want to know how to log and who or whom I should log for, I'd like to have a reference, say, okay, well, these three log management vendors and these four SIM vendors are the ones that I'm going to want to consume my data when I, you know, I go live and right before Google or Intel buys me. These are the people I want to work with. So if you can develop your product in a format that they can easily digest, well, then that makes your product that much more valuable from an integration perspective.
Yep. And obviously, I just realized we missed one of the most important pieces of logging news, namely the release of the Common Event Expression log standard specification. And this basically, CE spec, when it's finished, will address exactly that challenge. It would provide developers a nice framework to actually log to. Eventually, CE might even come with a library that you can just use to produce useful logs within the standard. And that will, at some point, change the world of logging. The only problem with that is that it'll take a while before it's developed, and it will take even longer before it's adopted. So it would be definitely a nice way to do it in the future. It's just that lots of apps are written today, not in the future. And these people would write to their own nightmarish dreams of login that they might have.
And trying to retrofit an application with a particular logging format or jamming the code in there to make it log in a certain way is not always the easiest thing to do. And it would be very hard to gain development cycles to do something of that, because it's definitely not a revenue-generating project,
at least
not short-term.
Yep. And by the way, in light of this, I'm thinking we should do a podcast next time on how people actually use those logs, because sometimes developers think of themselves like debugging logs, and they create something fairly useful for them, and
when
then
something
a security
goes wrong.
Engineer has to use that piece of data to track, for example, activities of a user. And that's not very, it would not be very effective, because these logs were built for debugging purposes. So I think we are sort of like starting to a little get distracted from the integration challenges. How about this one? Let me throw this one here. How about people who just say, no, we don't have any integration challenges. We just index everything and every log is supported automatically, magically, out of the box. No integration challenges. What are we going to say to this approach?
I think that, you know, it's two sides of a coin. From the vendor perspective, they really don't have any of the integration challenges. The challenge is getting their data, or getting the data from these third-party applications and platforms to their platform. And if these third-party vendors can get the information to these systems, then yes, they've met their goal. They are logging, they are indexing, they are storing, and you can do reporting on them, on these logs.
So you're
to
saying
a point,
indexing
right?
is just as useful as parsing? That's not the case, not at all.
Well, it depends on your goal. Is your goal to store all logs, or is your goal to do something useful with them?
Yeah, okay, well, yeah, that's that's exactly right. So reporting to the point is a good way to phrase it. You can get searching. I mean, you'd get obviously fairly quick searching, and you can get reporting, but to the point. To the point becomes very important here.
Right. Ultimately, it's what you want to do with your data. And if all you want to do is store your data for long-term retention to meet some sort of compliance checkbox, and I'm not going to use the term.
You want to say PCI? Okay, say it.
No, I'm fairly certain that's not what I was going to say. But it's, you know, if that is your ultimate goal for your log management project, then you've met your requirement, or, you know, predominantly or most of the requirement for that particular item in your checkbox. If your goal is to inspect the logs on a regular basis, perform forensic analysis based on the captured logs, incident response, then the storing of logs, well, just because they're indexed doesn't mean that you're going to be able to access that data in a timely manner in a way that is going to be very usable to you as the end analyst.
Or understand, you might be able to get it, you might be able to review it, but you would not be able to understand what the hell does it mean. So
exactly.
You would see raw logs, not enriched, not normalized, not categorized. I mean, they would show up quickly on your screen because of indexing, but as far as figuring out what it means and whether it was really bad for your environment or whether it was perfectly fine, you're on your own with this one. And that, to me, is a bit of a challenge with people who just say, oh, we index everything and there's nothing else that you need.
Yeah, I can count on one hand how many people could just understand any log that came across them, but I think that's even difficult. Like, you are very handy at being able to interpret logs and the meaning, but that comes with years of experience. It's not something you can just sit down someone who's fresh out of school and say, hey, can you just go understand these for me? That'd be great. And then tell me when something bad happens. They will have no idea what to do.
Yep.
Unless the message in the log is crafted in a way that says, horrible, horrible error, go tell someone this person logged in. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I should probably go do something about this. It's definitely not that cut and dry from a new analyst perspective. It does take quite a bit of time, though I'm not sure what the best way to ramp someone up would be who's new to log management.
You have a advanced log management class now, right?
Nice plug.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Oh, but you're right. You know, that's definitely one route. There's not a lot of books out there on the topic, and those that are were written quite a while ago. Not that logging has really changed over the years, but there's really no definitive guide that says this is what logging is. Here are guidelines to interpret and understand generalities along logging practices and logging messages. I'm not aware of anything that exists like that.
Yeah, I mean, also, even if it were to exist, I mean, as you know, I was thinking of writing a log management book myself, and in fact, it might still happen.
Yeah, but you've been talking about that for years.
Yeah, but at the same time, for example, if somebody were to write a log management, a login book in the mid-90s, it would be all about Unix and PIX and checkpoint, essentially servers and firewalls. And maybe servers and firewalls did not change that much, even though they did. There are so many other logs we have to look at today that the book would be obsolete, not because the methods would be different, not because the logs would be different, but because we now have more log sources to look at. I mean, SAP login, that is one of the nightmarish logs ever to exist under the sun, right? And 5 years ago, you just wouldn't care. You'd care about PIX, and you'd care about Unix, and you'd care about IDS, IPS alerts.
It's almost like we need a hacking exposed logs, something that comes out annually.
Pretty much, well, maybe not annually, but pretty much. It would be something that reflects a change in need. I mean, have you looked at, back in your vendor days, did you look much at, say, MySQL logs or other database logs? It wasn't that common.
No, it wasn't that common. And then you'd get something like, we need to support this archaic mainframe that one particular customer needs logs from. And you're like, all right, does this thing even generate logs? So now you're engaged in a research project for a couple weeks to try to figure out, one, if this thing ever was built with logging capabilities, two, if you can find documentation on how to enable it, and if not, you know, what alternatives for third-party software exist to allow me to get logs out of this system? It becomes quite a challenge.
In fact, and an extra challenge with mainframes and legacy systems is that nobody will ship one your way to do your research. You have to essentially beg people to give you access to their system to do the testing.
Yep, and I've been through that before, where the customer whose deal you're trying to close says, well, you know, I can't really give you access to the whole system. I'll give you access to a terminal session. And then your method for logging is to telnet in and screen scrape the data off and then reformulate it into something that resembles syslog or a readable log message.
Yep.
It's quite a challenge.
Yeah, that's a well-known one, provided you can even get to that mainframe using telnet, which is a whole different story. So as we are nearing the time we wanted to hit, what about making some conclusions over that? And one thought that I have over the whole integration aspect is what kind of advice we can give to people who are the users of log management and SIM tools, possibly asking and occasionally begging their vendors, their tool vendors, to support a particular log source. So let's try to maybe give some useful tips in the end as far as how, as an enterprise or maybe SMB user, how do you deal with vendors if you want them to support a particular log source?
Well, the best thing you can do as a customer or an end user of a particular log management or SIM vendor's product would be to try and do a little research on your own before requesting a particular integration point, because that just really helps the vendor out considerably when they start to do their own research. If you can say, well, you know, this, I know this supports syslog, it does not write to a database, so an ODBC connection is not going to be possible. The SNMP logs that it sends are very limited. I called support and they told me that I probably shouldn't worry about those, that I should stick with syslog. Well, you've just eliminated two different log transport mechanisms that the vendor does not have to research anymore.
Yep. And the also, same applies to the logic of what messages you'd like to see. Now, this might be a bit too much to ask, but if your purpose is to look for user logins, then maybe you shouldn't request that every single log from a particular source is to be integrated. Maybe you just want to track users, right? I mean, that's a bit sensitive because we don't want to put too much burden on somebody who just paid $1 million for a log management or a SIM tool. But having awareness, at least shallow awareness of the use case, like what are you trying to do? Why are you even asking? Is extremely useful.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Sometimes you just want authentication logs for a particular application, and that satisfies your requirements for that integration point. You don't need to know when a process restarts or if a table is updated or dropped. Well, you probably want to know when a table is dropped, but an insert. You don't want to see every single insert generate its own log into a database. You would want perhaps just the people authenticating to that database, and that's enough for you.
Yeah.
If you can define your requirements, that is definitely going to make, not only is it going to make the integration easier from a time perspective, because the vendor can turn it around much quicker that way, it's also going to help you understand, okay, now when I get that integration, I'm going to have to create reports. I'll probably have to create some alerting mechanisms to say when a particular user logs in at 3 a.m. when they shouldn't be. So you could actually start building those rules and reports ahead of time while waiting for that integration point to arrive or be included.
Yep. And in fact, when you mentioned requirements, it starts to sound kind of like too much work for the user. It's ideal, but it's, even if you have some vague idea about what you're looking to do with the log data, that's typically a huge help.
Yeah, it's just like if someone asks you, do you know where this street is? And maybe you have an idea, at least you can point that person in the right direction when they're looking for those directions. You're not just saying, sorry, can't help you. You know, you're at least providing some information. It may be wrong, but at least it's helping a little bit or attempting to help.
And by the way, another thing to add is when you think, when you as a user of a tool or somebody who has a particular problem in mind is thinking, if you're thinking about what you want to do, maybe you'd realize, I just want to search logs, in which case you would not have any integration challenges. You just pick a vendor or a tool that supports indexing well, and then your use case, your problem is essentially solved without any integration projects, apart from collection. There's no need to normalize. There's no need to parse. Now, on the other hand, you might be looking for something fairly esoteric, like visualizing logs or executive reports, in which case it is highly likely that you do have an integration project that your vendor would undertake.
Yeah. And, you know, never... The one final thing I can say about end-user integration, if you're assessing different vendors and you have yet to have a solution, or if you have a solution in place, why not ask that vendor for their integration lifecycle, how they go from having no support to having complete total support and regular scheduled updates. You may be surprised that not every vendor out there that deals in logs and log management and SIM will have a defined program for an end-to-end lifecycle of integration.
Yes, that is very true. Some would run for years with an ad hoc process. That is exactly right. Yeah. I've seen that too, where people would say that their life cycle ranges from days to essentially years. And that's not always acceptable. And so you have to check your own assumptions and needs as far as whether waiting for a year is acceptable.
Yeah. And I'll give everyone a hint on what is not scalable. Step one, customer requests integration to sign a deal. Step two, company agrees. Step three, they deliver. Step four, it doesn't work after the next major product revision of that log generating application. That's not a life cycle. That's just a problem waiting to happen.
Yeah, that might mean that maybe the friendly neighborhood sales folks convinced an engineer to build that support in an ad hoc manner, but there is no real program to integrate new log sources.
Yeah.
So now that we are running closer to an end, any quick last-second comments?
Well, like Anton said at the beginning, let's hopefully our listeners, which I assume will be, you know, thousands if not millions of people.
Millions.
will help us pick a better name for this thing. And provided we get a better name, maybe we'll do another one again.
Yep. No, we're going to do another one for sure. And another useful input from the audience is whether you like the style, whether you'd like us to cover any particular topic, whether you'd like us to be more technical. We can talk logs. We can just, you know, talk regular expressions if we have to, or whether we should focus more on the market or a mix of these things. So any and all feedback is very useful. That's about it. Hopefully you'd listen to us again next time.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.